I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited because we have got a fun new series coming up the next couple of weeks. Why don't you explain to our listeners the ride we are headed into?
We are doing 4 weeks of shows of guests with their mothers or mothers and their kids, whatever yes. you prefer. So we're having actual mother-child pairings for the next 4 weeks. And the moms get to pick the movies for
That's
once.
That's right.
Finally, justice will be heard.
And please let everyone know who our first exciting, wonderful guests are.
They happen to have a podcast. They're the host of the podcast, Rom-Coms with Mom. It's an actual mother and daughter. It's Olivia what? Snow Norman and Andrea Norman.
Yay! Woo! She's also... So Andrea Snow Norman?
Oh, now you tell me.
Oh, yeah. So is the last name Snow Norman?
No, it's
our... We're just uncreative with middle names.
Oh, no, we're very creative with middle names. Oh, don't God. You get it?
You're just...
No, we're named after...
Oh, because each snowflake is unique. So yeah, so that's...
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we're named after my grandmother. So
beautiful.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, yeah, family name.
Andrea, do you remember the first movie you took Olivia to? And was she a total nightmare?
No.
In any order.
Well, Olivia claims I took her to inappropriate movies early, which like rom-coms. So I liked a lot of rom-coms and I used to sneak out when they were at nursery school and stuff and watch movies. But I don't remember what the first one was.
My first movie was Lion.
Oh, yes, because Olivia famously was like bouncing up and down on her father's lap singing Lion King, Lion King, Lion King, the minute you saw the Disney, you know, the castle.
She was like that when we saw Hereditary.
The trailer
jumping up and down on your lap, yeah.
Really
just saying Lion King, Lion King, Lion King. It was so weird. Right.
But I don't have that memory of what our very first movie together. It was probably something Disney or princessy or something like that. If it was just the two of us girls.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
I have an older brother.
Okay.
He's only 2 years older though.
So you're basically older, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Wiser.
Exactly.
Women do mature faster. So yeah.
No comment.
Now Olivia has been on the show multiple times and she famously always brings in a terrible, awful movie that she loves. So do you trust your daughter's taste in movies? Like if she comes to you and says, Mom, you gotta watch this movie. Do you trust her?
I think she did that on purpose because it was you guys. I just, I seem to think that that's true. Am I right, Olivia? But I chose a movie I thought you guys would like.
But do, I'm just asking, do you trust Olivia's taste in movies?
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay, good.
How many things have I told you watch this past year that you have not watched?
Oh, you've told me a lot of things I've not watched because I've just been, I hate the word busy, but I've been busy. So you've like recommended things on Netflix and I haven't watched them.
At least seven.
Yeah. 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 What's that?
What do you recommend in deep cuts? Like, what are we? Nailed It?
Mostly documentaries, think pieces.
Yeah, no, does recommend a lot of those. It was that, there's the one with Carey Mulligan that you said is really good. I haven't watched
it. Promising Young Woman.
Yeah, that might be the one I try to get in before the Oscars so I can say I actually watched one Oscar movie this year.
Do you care about
loves Oscars.
Oh, well, I love to watch at least the 10 best pictures. So I feel like I'm a little bit in the know. Plus, I love the fashion.
Sure.
It's going to be tough this year, though.
Well, this comes out after the Oscars, but yeah, they haven't happened yet when we're recording this.
You know what, you guys? I am hating this award season with all of these celebrities in gowns in like their living rooms.
It's really the worst part of 2020.
It really looks weird. Shows like how unnecessary all of this hoopla is. And it makes me not like you to watch you in your living room in a big Gucci dress, being like, I'm so relatable. And then you get your little award and then go to bed. I don't know.
Prefer they're like in a Tweety Bird sweatshirt and like sweatpants
with a pint of Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, what are you actually wearing in your apartment?
Expecting to lose. That makes you relate. But then I probably be like, ugh, they're trying so hard. Me to like them.
It's a tough needle to thread to get
you
it
know
right.
What I forget everything I just said. I empathize with all celebrity.
Just in case, don't want to burn any bridges. But you know, speaking of women,
oh yes,
today we're talking about the movie Best in Show. John, what's the deal with Best in Show?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Best in Show. It was directed by Christopher Guest and co-written by Guest and Eugene Levy. And it is a behind-the-scenes look into the highly competitive and cutthroat world of the Mayflower Dog Show, seen through the eyes of a group of ruthless dog owners. It stars Jennifer Coolidge, Christopher Guest, John Michael Higgins, Michael Hitchcock, Eugene Levy, Jane Lynch, Michael McKean, Catherine O'Hara, Parker Posey, and Fred Willard. It was released on September 29th, 2000, and made $2.8 million off a budget of $10 million. It's well regarded by the critics. David Anson of Newsweek said, Guest seems to know just how far he can stretch reality without losing the crucial texture of verisimilitude. This is a comedy even cat lovers might adore. And Best in Show was the inspiration for the National Dog Show, which has aired each Thanksgiving on NBC since 2002. And that is the deal with Best in Show.
So, Andrea, yes,
let's hear it.
Go on. Let's derail the entire show for Olivia's fun fact.
This better be great.
I remember when my mom and dad went and saw this movie. It was like a date night of theirs where they went and saw this movie, and they came home and they were still laughing and were like, oh my goodness, you guys. I was probably, when did it?
2000.
So eight years old. And they were like, it was so funny. And they were like, they kept raving and raving and raving about it. And I remember being like, well, I gotta see this movie. When does the DVD, when does the VHS come out? I just remember being jealous that I had, and you guys were like explaining scenes in the movie.
Yeah, that
probably
sounds
terribly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that sounds exactly like us, because we did love this movie. Dad still, I say, oh, Best in Show. I told him that's what we were doing today. He's like, oh, Two Left Feet.
Nice.
So is this one of your, we asked you to pick a movie. Is this one of your favorite movies, would you say?
I think it's definitely one of my favorite comedies.
Yeah.
I just love the subtle humor of this. It is like, it is so clever. And I know that there was an outline. There wasn't a script.
Right. Sure.
But if there was a script, this should have been nominated for an Oscar, I think. I mean, it's
thank
just,
you.
Yeah, I think it's not easy to do really good comedy. And this is the best kind because it's so subtle. I love it. Love it.
Are you a fan of his like other, like of Waiting for Guffman?
Waiting for Guffman, For Your Consideration. I like.
Have you seen Waiting for Guffman, Mom?
Yes. You know what I have not seen? And I almost watched it today because I wish I could say I watched it. I've never seen Spinal Tap.
Oh, Spinal Tap's great.
Yeah, I know. Is that crazy? I have not seen Spinal Tap. So
if you like this, you'll like Spinal Tap.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
If you're at all have any like passing affection for 80s heavy metal, that will only help. Are you a heavy metal fan? Yeah. Do you love a Judas Priest, a Motley Crue, a Rush?
Yes.
That's more prog rock and not so much heavy metal.
Black Savage.
Black Savage, everyone's favorite band. You're like me trying to quote Bob Fosse movies. Yeah. So Olivia, on a lesser extent, what do you think of Best in Show?
Oh, I love this movie.
Love it. Okay, great.
But this is one of those, it's like, oh, I want to do that. Like, I want to be that. Like, I want to be Parker Posey. I want to be Catherine O'Hara.
Yes.
It's just like, I think inspiring. Inspiring.
So I do want to say, I don't know if Olivia told you this, but I have a history with dog shows. So
really?
That's,
oh, really?
Yeah,
go on. What's your
So my father bred and showed Airedale Terriers much of my, well, not all of my childhood, but I think about up until I was 10 or 12. And we've had an Airedale Terrier in our house from the time I was about 2 years old. So, and they still have one today. And so we came out of that movie, Dave and I, thinking, oh my God, my parents are just going to love this movie. We sent, and they're not funny daddies, right? We sent them to this movie. They said it was the worst movie they'd ever seen.
Really?
Really?
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how can you not appreciate?
What did she say? Did Granny say like, oh, it was just gross?
Well, she might.
But it's something that's like funny that she doesn't like. She's like, oh, that's just gross, Andrea.
Was it like the Catherine O'Hara as a sort of a woman with a past problematic for them?
Maybe it's just too close for them to handle.
They didn't respect the art of dog
exactly
breeding.
Like, because
we're not
the
like
thing
that.
Is, yeah, I
we're
mean,
not unusual people.
I mean, yeah, I don't think of this movie as being mean to dog love dog, you know, people in the dog world.
No.
I don't
at
think
all.
So.
I think gentle. It's, you know, what is the best form of flattery?
Imitation.
Thank you. Imitation is that's the way I came away looking at it. And so I thought they would love it. And it was a real flop.
Well, Gertie, who is a dog, was
thank you for clarifying.
Was she?
Oh no.
Because she said, well, I'm not purebred, so where do I fit in?
All right, you're doing
I don't see myself.
All right, let's move on. John, what did you think of Best in Show?
I actually saw it the weekend it came out with my family. I was living in New York, so I went down to Jersey to watch with them, specifically with my father, because he's a big dog person. And I said, I really think you're going to like this movie. And I have never seen my father laugh at a movie harder than at this movie. He actually fell out of his seat during one of Christopher Guest's monologues.
Wow.
With the bloodhound that he was talking, because he was laughing so hard.
Pistachio.
Stop naming nuts. Yeah.
I used to quote that a lot. Me and Robert would quote that a lot.
It's
brother.
A classic. Yeah, I think it's great. I think I like Waiting for Guffman just a titch more, but I think this is excellent. And I think it's such a, I think what has happened with Christopher Guest movies as they go on is because he has so many great actors, he keeps wanting to bring them back, which I totally understand. But then suddenly you have these movies where you're like, we need 20 storylines because we have to give everyone something to do. And so it sort of becomes bloated and a little bit unfocused. But I feel like Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show is sort of like the golden balance of having enough great actors. Because also watching this again, I was like, well, this is the first time I saw John Michael Higgins, Jennifer Coolidge, and Jane Lynch. And they were all knocked it out of the park. Like, we're so incredible. So I think this is a really great, funny movie. How about you, Mark?
I mean, we're all four of us in agreement. Can you imagine? It's I love it. It's a classic. I never get sick of watching it. I always go back and forth of like, which do I like more, Waiting for Guffman or Best in Show? And I am always like flip-flopping, but I think
on your mood, right?
That's true. Possibly. Do think like Waiting for Guffman has like a better, like, is probably a better like story, but Best in Show has better laughs. I think overall has like higher highs for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Guffman does have more of an arc. Sorry, I cut you off, Mark.
No, please.
Has more of like an arc like of the like the waiting for Guffman.
We're putting
like,
on the show, like, yeah.
Yeah, more like emotional. And this is just like, oh, Cookie hurt her ankle.
Hurts her knee. Yeah. It's like, oh, I guess they kind of established he has trouble walking, I guess, yeah. Kind of. And then
a little bit.
I guess that's paying off. Sure. Whatever. Like, were we really invested in who wins Best in Show?
Like,
no.
This is just like
this movie should have been like Clue, where there's different endings for who won.
Oh, that's
different. What happens to them afterwards?
I think also with this one is like with Waiting for Guffman, you have all these characters and they all come together and create something. And this one, you have these five different storylines. And yes, they all come together to compete, but they don't really interact with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That much.
So I think that's, I don't think it's necessarily a flaw, but I think there's something like I almost wanted them to be responding with each other a little more than they were.
Well,
able
you have
to.
Like the one like cocktail party scene.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where they do that.
Actually, I think it would have made the movie too long, but there's like, definitely like backstage drama that you know is there, but you don't know all the details of. There's a scene where Scott and Stefan are watching Chrissy like in the ring and they're talking mm-hmm. about her and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of story there. It would be really cool to know what that story is.
This could have a prequel. Maybe. Some fan fiction, maybe.
Oh, I'll get right on that.
Get right on it. Create your own. Well, Andrea and Olivia, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do at this point, we are looking for the gayest movies ever, and we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, and at one point, you will create a category, and it will be added to the wheel. You might know what that means. Maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. It'll
Trust
all make
me,
sense
she
in
was
the end.
Already texting me about it.
Oh, good.
Good.
I love it. Like you aren't always on your phone anyways, Olivia.
No.
I had to interrupt my pottery class to get a text. Well, this is our current, right? These are the current top five gayest movies ever. This is where we're at. So number five with an 86.92% is Death Becomes Her. Number four with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number three with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one with a 94.83% is Female Trouble. And I should say, Waiting for Guffman, which we just did a few weeks ago, has a 57.70%. And that is currently the 49th gayest movie ever. So where do you guys think Best in Show is going to end up, if you had to guess? Higher than Waiting for Guffman?
I would say just a nudge above Waiting for Guffman. That's my goal.
No. That's a noble goal.
How many movies have you done?
Oh,
this
God.
This is 95, I think.
95.
Okay, so maybe we could be top 25-ish.
Oh.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know.
He's trying to be strategic.
No. It's clearly lacking in some areas, I think. Well, so,
sure.
Yeah. We'll
penetration
see.
Shots.
Yeah, they're definitely.
Full frontal.
Yeah.
Everybody, I have a question.
Everybody, yeah.
You're listening.
Christopher Guest and Jamie Lee Curtis famously are married.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Why has she never been in any of these movies?
She's making Halloween movies. I don't know.
She talked about it once in an interview, and she said that her and her husband have talked about it, and he feels that there's a very, I think she might be, they didn't say this, but I think it's almost like she's too well known, or like she's too, like it does take a very specific kind of actor, I think, to be successful in his movies. And I just wonder if she doesn't have that.
Yeah, but by the time
comfort,
like For Your Consideration came out, it's not like Eugene Levy was an unknown or anything.
No, but he's also, see him in these movies, we're not bringing the baggage of something else necessarily because we know him from these movies.
Of Your Wife. Wow. What?
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, sometimes husband and wives just, it's better when you don't work together.
Yeah.
Would you do a podcast with your husband?
My husband wouldn't do a podcast with me.
Rude. Oh. Trouble in Paradise?
Am I right?
Is this some dish?
No. It's just...
No, I mean, we asked if he wanted to do it with us and he was like, nah.
All right. Well, let's get into it and forget about your husband. The first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're all going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Andrea and Olivia, you two will have to agree on a score because I...
What?
Can't
how much,
figure
how much
out.
Time do we have? Oh, God.
Well, you could always just say each of yours and then just take the middle. You know what I mean? Like, right. Divide it
I don't
by
know.
Two.
Do you have it's a row ugly. For that on your spreadsheet? I don't know.
I don't. Okay. I don't. Which is just how
we can figure
so,
it out.
So, for the first group of categories, how would you guys rate Best in Show on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
There's four. And there's like nine lead characters.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's actually really good.
That is really
good. Most movies
that's
are lucky
three more than Waiting for Guffman, which is set in the world of theater. The
maybe,
nerve.
Mom, maybe like in the 90s then?
What do you mean in the 90s?
Score.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I thought you meant the 1990s.
What about the 90s? For the 90s, you have to grade
all right,
on the
let's
curve.
Say 90, 95.
Okay.
95.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of gay characters. I wouldn't put it quite at 95. I'll go 83.
83. Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the most we've had in quite some time. So I'll give it an 80.
Okay, it's a good temperature taking about how I did score there.
You're doing all right. Great. Okay. You just got to listen to your gut.
You can't do this wrong.
Yeah. Wait, Olivia will tell me when I do.
Yeah, right. But then she'll be wrong and it all goes back to normal. So Best in Show got an 86 in actual gay characters, which is 13 more than the Apple. And get this, 46 points more than the Ten Commandments. So there you go.
I would hope so. It did.
Right. All right. Our next category, drag queen.
Definitely on the down low. Okay.
Thank you. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen look at Best in Show and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean, Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge, hello.
Don't you think Scott Donlin?
Yes.
I mean, hello.
Bit, Scott, yeah. All those kimonos.
You're talking about a drag queen, Mom.
Yeah, but also just doing like his like hotel usher, like blue crushed velvet look is like very.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah,
his every drag queen has a Jennifer Coolidge impression. Pretty much.
You could say like the poodles and the way that the dogs are styled. Mm-hmm. There's a
and
drag queen.
The
Shih
Tzu, especially. Definitely. I love that little top knot thing they've got. It almost looks like a mustache too. Yeah.
It's not glitzy and glamoury, but there is like Meg Swan, like a woman who shops at like J. Crew, L. O. Bean, is like a very specific look. Like, is it necessarily going to like dazzle you on the runway? No, but like not every show has to be. Not every drag look has to be like sparkles. Mm-hmm. Like there's, she has a very, especially like her airport look. I really loved like the weird like cloak she was wearing.
That was fun.
Yeah, with the or when she was like we had the like beanie thing
when she's looking for the busy bee. Yeah.
I love at the very end they're in those crayon colors and she's got that big tie thing around her neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also adults with braces. There's a drag queen inspiration.
So just like that's one of those very specific choices that make that says so much about these characters without having to do anything.
And we haven't even mentioned Cookie.
Braces, but they're doing as a couple at the same time.
Right. They're a dark couple, the Swans. There's a very dark energy around them.
Okay, Mom, what's our score?
I don't know. You throw one out. This one's a bit lower. Do you think 50 is too low?
No, yes.
Okay, 65. Five, is that too
I'm
high?
I'm gonna say 70.
All right, 70. I'll go with
70.
That.
I will go 63.
I'm just saying Jennifer Coolidge is having a resurgence in the zeitgeist, okay?
Yeah.
What's the big project that everyone's all about buzzing
about? No, it's just like her. I think she has like a TikTok and stuff now and also an Instagram.
Oh.
And there's just like a TikTok of her panning her like outfit and then she turns around and is like, I can't do in Jennifer Coolidge. I was trying yesterday.
Please try.
Hi. It's not good. But it's so funny. People are in love with her again.
Absolutely.
I mean, my generation grew up on Legally Blonde. So we want is some more Jennifer Coolidge.
Essential text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also, I thought, something that could inspire drag queen about chaining someone to a pole to give them their makeup, their look. Seemed like, oh, I bet
that's an M of it all.
That. Yeah, that seems like for efficiency, if you have to like do your daughter, you know, just chain her to a pole. She can't wiggle.
Oh, are you talking about putting like the dog up on the grooming table? Is that
right?
Yeah. Putting that person up on the grooming table.
That could inspire a drag queen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel good about like, I have to lock you up before I do your makeup, but okay.
I mean, these aren't necessarily healthy inspirations. They're just, are they inspirations? I'm not putting
lock
any judgment on them.
That's very noble of you.
So,
and we didn't mention, I think you about did Cookie, but I think there's something in there with Cookie.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Cookie's use
hair
of hair
also.
Pieces.
Yes. Yeah.
Her hair pieces were great.
Yeah.
At one point she had that little tiny sparkly purse, which I thought was very fun. Like, what is she keeping in there? Nothing.
Chapstick.
Yeah.
I like the way she wore her name tag right over
on her skin.
On her skin. Yeah.
I'll give it a 60. Giving it a 64.33, 1 point higher than Waiting for Guffman, which has a 63.33. Hmm. All right, our next category, gay icons. What would you rate Best in Show on gay icons?
We got Jane Lynch, right?
Jane Lynch.
Catherine O'Hara.
Correct. Yep. Parker Posey. Coolidge.
Parker Posey.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Cool.
I think all of the women in this are—they're not like A-list, but they're like B-list.
Ouch! What a read.
They don't have disco. If they had a disco album, then sure, then they'd be A-list. But like, they're all really great.
John, do you like the Ethel Merman disco album?
I do. It's great to clean to.
What about Winky? Is Winky a gay icon?
Yes. As a straight cis woman.
Who's currently holding a dog that looks similar to Winky.
What do you think the gayest dog breed is? I always think a Whippet.
Whippets, those really skinny ones, right?
Like little mini greyhounds they look like.
Yeah.
I always think of poodles first just because they're so like about, they seem fussy and all about image.
I guess this is on the nose because of this movie too, but I always thought a shih tzu.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're pretty
long
draggy.
Locks.
I think any toy breed.
I mean, there's
anything the size of a purse, sure.
Exactly.
Purse first.
I mean, right now, I feel like the it dog is a French bulldog, a Frenchie.
I think you're right.
They're cute. Yep.
It's the Mini Cooper of dogs.
So gay icons. That seems like a lot.
And also,
B list.
Those are John's words. What about John Michael Higgins? Is he gay?
He is not. He's married to a woman, has two children.
Ugh, disappointing.
Yeah.
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 What do you say, Olivia?
What? Oh.
Number?
Gay icons. Oh. 73.
Okay. I was going to go a little lower than that, but let's go 68.
68.
Fine.
Just to differ.
It's relationship.
I'll go 76.
76. Like your favorite number of trombones. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think if I'm going to give it 100, I think it's the
100.
All of them 25.
Oh my goodness.
That's true.
I think they're all like four on their own or like 25. I think there's definitely a cumulative effect.
Then maybe I should go slightly higher than Olivia at 72.
Whoa, that changes everything.
I said 73.
Oh, then 75.
75.
Yes.
75.
Mom, I also last night I was like, we could have done Josie and the Pussycats. I guess because I was just watching Parker Posey.
Okay.
I was watching Parker Posey and I was like, I love her so much.
Andrea, do you like Josie and the Pussycats?
I have never seen Josie.
Well, see, that's not the premise of the episode, Olivia. Now, is
so
it?
We
want the mother
now
to pick the episode. You've had a chance to pick two movies.
Yeah, but also,
and we see what's happened to them.
She's never seen it and says, oh, I need to watch this movie. So it could have been a good opportunity.
Is it a Christmas movie?
No.
Well, then you can't choose
that. I can't watch it. See, that would be the ultimate bad pick of a movie, is to just not pick a Christmas movie next year.
Sure. So I do think Josie and the Pussycats is a great choice, though, to bring in. It's gotten, Best in Show, Gay Icons, got an 83.67. Waiting for Guffman, a 55. All right, our next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
I think we fail on this one.
I mean, it's not a horny movie in general.
I mean, it's pretty, except for Cookie.
I mean, but you see Scott with his shirt off every couple of times. He's got a nice build, great chest.
Sure.
But it doesn't linger. He's like standing off to the side. It's shadows.
Yeah, this is like a 5, Mom.
Yeah, I would say it was very low. I would maybe the way Scott talks. I know it's not the gaze, but I think it's very sexy the way he talks. And so, I mean, it's
really
funny. It's funny sexy. Yeah. Funny.
Oh, I liked it when they get on the phone with their dog and he's like,
oh God, yes.
He like does like it's a little sexy talk. He's like,
yes.
Hey baby, Scott. How you doing? Like he definitely changes his voice to do
the
that.
The gay guy who likes Bartle.
John Michael Higgins.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't say the gay guy, but that's where we're at.
there's two of them.
There's two. I'm 50% chance of getting it right.
As opposed to the other gay guy?
Yeah. So what do you guys want to give this for the male gays?
Five.
Five?
Don't you think live low?
Yeah.
I'll go 10.
Oh.
What are you giving it 10 for?
Those leather pants that Jonathan Higgins wears.
Oh, that he embroidered himself.
Exactly.
I loved
those leather pants.
Have you guys ever worn leather pants?
No.
Neither have I. We're cool. I'll give it a.
Be doing me any favors.
Yeah, I know. So we know it looks good on us. Yeah.
I just feel like I'd get hot like in a second. Like I could, you know,
chafe.
I run hot as it is. I don't need
it's not about comfort.
No. I'm going to give it a, you know, I'm also going to give it a 5, giving it a 6.67 compared to Waiting for Government got a 24. Ooh. Well, that was what Matt Keeslar.
Yeah.
The Matt Keeslar of it all. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Well, I mean,
when the dogs come out,
all the dog walks.
High.
Especially Scott when he comes out with his revealing the new outfit.
I mean, every introduction of a character too.
Yeah. Meg going into the pet store like a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about when Scott and Stefan check in at the hotel?
It's like yes, absolutely.
Or how about the, I mean, it's very minor, but like that big blue curtain that they wave.
Yes.
Like being arms raised.
Arms wide, guys.
Yeah. Yes.
So stupid. Also like Max kissing Cookie as soon as she enters the house.
Oh my God.
So uncomfortable.
I love that. I mean, I hated it, but I loved it. I loved it because I hated it.
Yeah. Larry Miller's great at being a horrible person.
He's so gross. And stuff. I'm sure as a human, he's lovely.
Sure, he's right. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
No one's, you're not asking for him to be canceled on your TikTok, are you, Olivia?
Not yet.
You know what you could do? You could like make a pottery of somebody you want canceled and then like smash it.
Ooh.
I don't know anyone. I don't know. I'm not controversial.
Okay. Yeah, drunk drivers. You could just do that, a conceptual thing.
Oh yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, great. Like everyone keep an eye out for that series. All right, our next. Oh, so what are we giving this for entrances with pizzazz?
So you said you think high, Olivia. You go first. And
I would say 90 something.
All right, let's just go with 90.
90.
I think there's not, outside of the competition itself, there's not a whole lot of pizzazzy entrances. And even though there is like a, here's the entrance, it's not, it's like all at once. There's not a, each one gets their turn and they all get a spotlight and a specialty number. But there is definitely a fanfare about it. So I'll go 71.
You love a fanfare, John.
Live for it.
I'll go, it's 70. Given an average of 77. All right, our next category, hell on heels. This is women, you know, spitfire, don't take any guff. Not afraid to tell off a man.
We got Jane Lynch and Parker Posey.
I would say kind of all the women. Wouldn't you say Catherine O'Hara? Cookie?
She does have a certain effect on people.
Yeah, I don't think she uses rage so much as some of the others.
That's true. That's true.
She does, never comes from a place of anger.
Sexual energy.
I love that moment when the dime drops on her and she realizes she remembers the person.
Bold? Bold?
Oh God!
But she got Parker Posey screaming for Busy Bee.
Yeah,
that poor pet store owner.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, she's a definitely a Karen.
Yes.
Yeah, Mom. What do you want to do?
I don't know. Parker Posey's a real force. I don't know. Can we, let's say 70? Or am I too high there or low?
78.
Okay.
78.
I will go 77.
77.
Hey, Mom.
Okay. Like I'm saying a number. I'm letting you adjust it.
You're not doing anything wrong. Don't worry about it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to give it a 75. Give it an average of 76.67, which is about 43 points higher than, no, 53 points higher than Waiting for Guffman.
Whew, we're doing good. We're going to beat that Guffman dude.
But it's also 22 points lower than I, Tonya.
Oh, well.
So our next category.
That mother.
Talk about mother.
I, Tonya, is full of pizzazzy entrances.
Yeah. They're figure skating.
I, Tonya, only got a 32 on entrances with pizzazz.
Wow.
All right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Best in Show? You know, watching it a second time, I realized, oh, there's a lot more macabre than I remembered.
If you listen for it, it's there.
Absolutely.
What do you call a person? I can't think of the name, like the police officer or whatever, that like talks back jumpers. Isn't there like a name?
Like a hostage negotiator or like.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that whole storyline. You know, he's one of these guys and he's never saved anybody.
They all have
And then he describes that guy falling off and his head gets stuck in a gargoyle and it pops off and his intestines go everywhere. Yep. I mean, that's so crazy. At dinner too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then and then that same guy threatens to poke his son's eyes out with like his thumbs.
Yeah.
He's in the wrong profession.
Yeah, that's definitely macabre. Jane Lynch sort of like tosses off that her mom committed suicide at one point.
Yes.
That's pretty macabre.
Funny. Well, you got the depressed dog that, I'm sorry, at the end, I'm not even sure what they did with Beatrice, but.
Yeah, what happened to Beatrice? Right. That's a good point.
I'm really scared for Beatrice. She might have been put down or something awful like that.
Hashtag find Beatrice.
She probably put it center to the pound and then was euthanized.
Yeah. And despite
I didn't appreciate that.
I would say, despite my like history with dog shows, I think some people look at the concept of dog shows and all that goes into that is pretty macabre. So
very toddlers.
Anytime you're breeding something feels kind of macabre.
Yeah, I mean, when they breed dogs to look a certain way and then it hurts their health. Yeah.
The entire enterprise. Definitely.
Well, I don't want to have a debate, Olivia, but that's not really the purpose of the dog show piece.
It's dark.
That's very dark, but
adopt, don't shop.
Yeah, I know a bunch of those socks.
I don't know what socks you're talking about.
They were in your stocking last year, 2 years ago.
Well,
2 years? You remember a stocking gift from 2 years ago?
Because I remember seeing them in this store and I'm like, oh, this is Olivia says all the time.
Slogan to me, Mom.
It's a way of life for you, Olivia.
Well, that's why I got you the socks.
Or you thought of Olivia's, oh, I wish I adopted. How about being born with two left feet? That's pretty macabre.
That's pretty macabre.
Oh, it is.
Bringing your dog to couples therapy, I thought was macabre.
Yes. I thought all the stuff with the ventriloquist having sex. Dummy.
Them having to like sleep in the maintenance closet.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the swan's entire relationship, all their anger, like they are in, whatever their sex life is, it is messed up. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. Or how about, they don't need braces, they need mouth guards for all their teeth grinding at night.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, queen.
Yes. Mouth guard.
Wait. It's minor, but the Ed Begley Jr. is talking about when they had the rock and roll group and they pooped all over the place and
they roasted,
like, roasted a goat.
Roasted a goat.
Yeah.
He's Spinal referencing Tap Spinal Tap.
That's little Easter egg.
What's that? Well, no, I'm just.
Yeah.
She'll get to it. What should she watch? That or Josie and the Pussycats? This list keeps growing.
Oh, that's hard.
And she's busy, as we've already established. Yeah.
And she's got to watch her Criminal Intent still.
Yeah. Well, and have you worn those socks? Are they still in the stocking from 2 years ago?
Another 2 hours in her life. That's 2 hours to watch a movie every day.
What do you want to give this for macabre?
What do you want to give it, Mom?
I think it's pretty high for a comedy. I think it's, joy. I mean, it's a, let's say 80. Is that too high? Is that high? 75?
Like 64.
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
72.
I'm easy.
72. One of the top upper third of the darkest movies you've ever seen.
I'll go 68.
68. This movie is not really, I'm going to give it a 35. Like, it's not really macabre, I don't think. I'm giving it an average of 58.33, which is 17 points higher than Waiting for Guffman.
Okay.
And also tied with Auntie Mame. All right.
Oh, another
Mame.
What was that?
She sang a part of the title song of the musical Mame.
Oh.
Oh, you were talking about.
No, we were talking about the play on which the musical was based.
Oh.
The movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen the musical. Apparently, John loves it. He says, yeah. I got to.
No. Definitely watch Spinal Tap and Josie and the Pussycats first.
You told me the other day you got to watch Auntie Mame. It's an unregarded classic.
No, I'm lying.
All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting in Best in Show? Olivia's giving it a thumbs down while she drinks her rosé.
I think there was opportunity for dramatic lighting. Like, I think that's going to be like
not what the score is.
I know. So I'm very disappointed. I'm going to give it like a 2. I can't think of any dramatic lighting.
I mean, the only thing I thought of was the dog calendar photos. The burning of Atlanta, like, had some dramatic lighting.
That's true.
Some crepe tissue paper with a fan.
Okay, 5.
A 5.
Mom, you should do that kind of calendar with Gertie.
That'd be cute.
Isn't that what Susan kind of does for you for Christmas every year?
Who's this Susan?
Aunt Susan.
Aunt Susan. What does Aunt Susan get up to?
Aunt Suze? Oh, we just drink martinis and watch movies.
Does she make calendars?
It makes me a calendar. A Gertie calendar.
Of like existing photos, or does she take them?
No existing. I just send her, I text her pictures throughout the year.
Are they themed like for October? Is it like a costumey one?
Something with her in a heart for February.
Sometimes, well, like right now I'm looking at an April picture we're taking from last April. So
I think the Halloween ones when you were at ET and Gertie was
next year.
Oh, that'll be next year's?
Next year. You gotta wait.
Okay.
Well, Aunt Sue, the bar has been raised.
Wow, yep. We're all expecting.
Aunt Sue's.
Sue's, sorry. So Sue's me.
But I'm thinking make costumes. Like we really up. Okay, she is not into it.
No, you froze for a second. I didn't hear your whole sentence.
I said with costumes, like let's make her some costumes. Maybe just strong female leaders throughout time.
A Fran Lebowitz. Gertie is Fran Lebowitz.
So you want me to make Gertie costumes.
Yeah. While you watch Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
I'll do the handwork then. Okay.
There you go. Well, what do we want to give this for dramatic lighting?
I'd say 5. Olivia broke up again.
5.
I'll give it a 10.
10. Where are you getting this 10 from?
Oh, they lit the whole auditorium. That was dramatic.
Was it dramatic? What was the drama by just turning the lights on?
Just making sure everyone was, so you could see the drama. You knew where it was.
Okay, John. I'm also going to give it a 5. Give it an average of 6.67, 20 points lower than Waiting for Guffman, but that had an actual play in it, a musical. All right, maybe you make up some points here. Vibrato. How would you rate this on vibrato?
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we mean anytime they do something extra, they take a moment, they sort of zhuzh it up, give you more than you need, but you like it.
Well, that's a movie, right?
I would say the movie is definitely super vibrato. Like, I wrote John Michael Higgins, and then I think to me, like, the epitome of this is just Fred Willard. Like, as soon as he shows up, the whole movie just goes up a level. And there's a way in which if his character didn't show up, you wouldn't necessarily have missed it. But thank God he's there, and you love everything, every absurd, delightful thing that he does.
Love Fred Willard. Rescue.
I think we also need to give a shout out to his voice of reason, Jim Piddick, mm-hmm. as the straight man. You know, person, just an actual, a real actor. But
I was thinking that.
For years, I thought he was a real dog judge.
That's what it seemed like. You got like a real judge with someone who doesn't know what they're talking about.
But what a perfect voice of reason.
Yeah. Good pairing.
Yeah. I think everything going on with Beatrice and Busy Bee and like threatening a lawsuit over the dog barking in the airport and like threatening deportation to the maid when they couldn't find the Busy Bee. I mean, it was just like, or even like the whole scene where you meet them. And they talk about how they met at like Starbucks, amazing. But they were in separate Starbucks.
Right.
Working on our Macs.
Yeah.
The fact that Scott wants to bring 8 kimonos for a two-day trip.
Yeah. Or how about zhuzhing up their hotel room? They brought all of their decorations from their bedroom at home to the hotel, Scott and Stefan.
I have never. Have you guys ever redecorated a hotel room?
I've moved furniture around in the hotel room a
little
bit.
You have?
Yeah, just to like make space.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, gotta move stuff around. Yeah.
You gotta choreograph a dance number. You need to push the things around.
Exactly.
There's also literal vibrato when they sing God Loves a Terrier.
Yes. Yeah. Or anytime Catherine O'Hara screams, she has the best scream.
Absolutely. So what do you want to give this for vibrato?
Olivia, do you have any objection for us to give it like a 100 or something right up there close?
No, I don't.
Okay, 100.
100.
I will give it 100 as well. I think for nothing else than Fred Willard, but for all of those things we've mentioned.
I'm going to give it an 85.
Why so low? Because
stylistically, like visually, it's all very matter of fact, right down the middle.
Even John Michael Higgins' outfits?
You mean, yeah. Even
I just mean the cinematography of it all, the production design of it all. It's all just very documentary. Right. I feel like they're not doing any extra, like even the dog show itself just kind of looks like a dog show, which not a slight against the movie.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do like a bunch of dramatic lighting. That's what I remembered.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, but whatever.
I always worry in shows or things where they have like a dog in a scene where there's like dramatic, like a lot of like spotlights. Fighting and I'm like, yelling. The dog doesn't understand what's happening. They don't like this. No. I don't feel bad for the dogs in this movie though. I feel like they're probably getting treated great. Anyways, it's got an average of 95, Waiting for Guffman, got an 87.67. In vibrato. All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork?
I mean, there's a bunch.
We got two left feet. We got Catherine O'Hara's limp. And just like the showing of the dog.
Yeah.
Judging a dog on its gait.
There's a lot of talk about the gait of the dog.
I love Christopher Guest's show walk.
Oh, God.
Yes.
He's, what do you call that? It's not even a prance. It's like a,
a strut almost.
It was like a glide hop.
They also love the with Cookie's busted knee that you only see it from like a long shot from a distance that somehow makes it funnier.
No, that was the best. I know, but I love the way Scott, and I know it's his entrance, but the way he walks.
Yes, he's so regal.
So proud.
It's great.
Like a Cenobite almost, right?
Exactly. Just like a Cenobite. What? That's what everyone was
thinking.
You know,
from Hellraiser, Pinhead, the dignity they have.
Okay.
This is when I lose the moms. When I start talking about Cenobites. Okay, here she comes. So what do you want to give this for footwork?
You take the lead on this one, Olivia.
88.
Ooh,
that seems a little high.
So do I hear a counter?
I'll say 85. I guess the whole thing is the dogs That's walking around the ring. Yeah. Very much. 88's
crazy. 85 makes sense.
I just said, thank you. The voice of reason here.
Well, I was going to say 91, but since you lost 3 points, I'll say 94.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you, John.
I'm going to I'll give it a 90, giving it an average of 89.67. And would you believe Waiting for Guffman? 76.67. Lady Bird, 19.67. All right, next category. Spank bank deposits. Anything in Best in Show you're adding to your spank bank?
Yeah, all right. I got to confess.
Please.
What? No,
this is something I had to Google. I did not understand what this meant.
Your research tell you?
I did like cut and paste. Where the most sexually rewarding, explicit, fulfilling, and indulging sexual encounters and or memories are retained in the mind for the most anticipated and pleasurable masturbation sessions.
Solid book. Classic.
Pretty much sum it up?
I'd say so. So is there anything in Best in Show you're adding to your spank bank? So sorry.
I guess no. Perhaps the only thing that made me curious was that what was the sex position she talked about? Something of the cow.
Oh,
Congress of the cow.
Congress
of the cow. That's the only thing that made me wonder.
Oh.
Oh,
that was the second thing you Googled?
Something to Google.
It's okay.
I Googled and it's like a prog rock thing.
I made her Google involuntary celibate.
What recently?
How did that happen?
we review rom-coms. There's a lot of incel stuff.
Oh, sure. Gotcha. But we didn't have that label by one from in these movies you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think for, is there anything?
Nothing makes me horny.
What about Harlan Pepper? He's got a nice, he's rugged.
Well, so when he's rattling off nuts, it made you want a nut?
Yeah. Olivia, please.
Scott asked for the salami behind the counter so he could hold it.
That's true.
That is true.
But those are, I don't put it necessarily in this category.
No.
If there was a different category, those things could fall under maybe.
Do you have like a top, like who's like your top celebrity like crush? Like, oh, you think like, oh, they're so handsome.
Oh God, what's the guy's name? The Australian guy, Thor. I think he's so cute.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh,
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes,
that's a good
Chris
one.
Hemsworth.
That's a great choice.
Oh God, he's so cute.
He's on Instagram.
I don't follow him.
He mostly just
gotta,
works out.
Got to add him right now.
She's add him right now.
Got to add him for your spank bank, Mom.
That's okay.
Yeah, so what do you want to give Best in Show for spank bank deposits?
Zero?
Yeah. Nothing.
I mean, is that...
You can say zero.
You can say zero.
I think giving it more would just me be trying to be waiting for Guffman.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate your integrity.
Fair. Thank you. I have that.
Mark's appreciation or integrity?
Both.
I'll give it a 5.
For what?
The guy, the butcher, the guy at the butcher shop who he's doing all those entendres.
Oh, you liked him.
He's very cute.
There's also the photo of like Scott as Carmen Miranda with the guy like bent over, which is like fun. Like if you're like, you know, at Bible camp and the only movie they have is Best in Show, maybe there's like something, but
would you freeze it on that screen?
I think you would have to. That's all you got.
It's only up there 2 seconds.
Right. I'll give it a 3. Give it an average of 2.67. About 12 points less than Waiting for Guffman. And 68 points less than the Ten Commandments.
Well, a young right.
Oh,
Brenner,
there's a lot of bear chest. Yeah.
A lot of bear chest. All right. This is the last of the canon categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Best in Show to a gay person?
Oh, I would say very, very much.
But you need some number, Mom.
What, 90, 95? What do you think, Olivia?
I mean, yeah, I'd recommend this movie.
I'd recommend it to everyone.
Not only to a gay person, but anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I recommended it to my parents, and unfortunately, that did not go over well.
Yeah, so if you meet a gay person, you'd be like, first,
gay,
are you my
so...
parents? Oh, okay, well, then if you're not my parents, then you're gay.
Yeah, I think a gay person would like this better than Granny and Papa.
In a different kind of way, gay people are breeders too.
Sure.
Oh, dear.
Does someone need Adopt Don't Shop socks in their stocking this year?
So what do you want to get? Yeah, 95, I heard.
95. It's a pretty resounding yes.
Yeah, I'd say 95 as well. I mean, you got Jennifer Coolidge, Jane Lynch, so many, you know, Catherine O'Hara. Like, again, all the women are just killing it.
John, you gave Waiting for Guffman a 99.
Yeah, Waiting for Guffman said in theater.
Sure. But I feel, but this has Jennifer Coolidge. You know what I mean? So sure. I gave Waiting for Guffman. I have to give this Jennifer Coolidge and Parker Posey and Jane Lynch.
I will say this. I don't think this is Parker Posey's best work.
Yeah, but
no,
she's pretty amazing in it, though. If you're doing like a quadrant of her like roles, I think Meg
Ghost
Swan
the
is pretty.
Cats, up top.
I think for her, Guffman is definitely places far higher than Best in Show.
I don't know. She's.
I think in this one, her and Michael Hitchcock just yell at each other too much. I think of the five different groups, they're
so
the weakest to me.
Because I think
they
so,
get
like...
too. I think they stay too much at the same level. Is what I feel.
I don't know. Maybe growing up in Silicon Valley, I recognize these people. They seem very...
People who take themselves too seriously.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 100. I gave Waiting for Guffman 100. I have to give this 100 too. Given an average of 96.67. Still not as high as Waiting for Guffman's 98, but very close. Nice. All right. Now we are into the wheel category.
So these are all previous categories that guests have brought in. I put them all in this wheel on my phone.
Oh.
So we're going to spin it 4 times.
Olivia, you've seen this.
whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge it. And then after those four, you will come up with a category, which will be added to the wheel. Remember that?
Yay!
Just like old times.
Okay, here we go. From Sergeant Pepper, bulges.
Bulges.
Oh, there is a literal bulge.
There's literally a guy there named Bulge in this movie.
There is a guy named Bulge. Yeah. And he gets a bulge.
Yeah.
He talks about it growing. True.
And I feel like Scott in his like crushed velvet.
Yeah, those leather pants.
And all the dogs' balls.
That's oh, true. Yeah, they grab the balls.
Those poor dogs. Yeah, surprising amount of bulges.
It's so on the nose with the character named Bulge.
I know, right?
Wow.
What, like 80, Olivia? Or is that too high?
No, I was thinking 80 something.
Okay, 80.
80.
I'm going 100. There's a guy named Bulge in this movie.
100.
Uh-huh.
I'm also going to go 80. Giving it an average of 86.67. Wow.
Okay, sassy best friend.
Sassy best friend.
Sassy best friend.
Willard, kind of the sassy best friend.
Sure. Like the cocktail party when Scott and like Seven meet Cookie and I forget Eugene Levy's character's name.
I love that scene.
That has the dynamic of a sassy best friend.
I think
friend.
What's tough is that there's no character who is the lead.
Yeah.
And yes. So like to be like, who's the, I mean, you could say are the dogs sassy because they are man's best friend.
The dogs are almost like,
I mean,
they're pretty neat, have no personality.
Rhapsody and White are pretty sassy.
That's true.
Well, and we don't really see the two Shih Tzus together much, except in their photo shoot.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, not like a huge amount.
Yeah.
And they're all like couples.
And like you said, you know, there's very, the characters' little stories are very separate. There are very few times everybody's sort of all together. So, I'm going to have to give this low.
Yeah.
What, like 18?
Sure.
18.
That sounds right to me. I'll go 18 as well.
You know what? I'll also go 18. Let's keep it friendly. Giving it an average of 18. Do you guys watch the dog show every year on Thanksgiving?
No.
You don't? I do. It's fun.
Okay, here we go. Over the top production design.
Well.
Oh, well, photo shoot.
The photo shoot.
That's true. That's I think Cookie's house, when decorating your entire house in terrier theme, like that's the aesthetic.
Mailbox.
Yes. Yes. Basing your entire home's aesthetic on a terrier.
Winky.
I mean, Winky is cute. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Not that the production design is all that awesome for the dog show, but the way the guy talks about it and how special it is and they plan for it, and same with the way they plan in the hotel for everybody coming. But
do you think redecorating your hotel room is a form kind of over the top production design, like production designing your hotel room is over the top?
Yes.
But it's fairly muted overall.
Although, it's very grounded.
It's very grounded, except that, like, Olivia, you know, you're talking about these things in the background. There, if you notice things in the background, like, even, like, in that van, they have dangling from the rear view mirror is a tiny little Norwich Terrier that's dressed in a red sweater. I mean, I think so much thought went into the production design of this show that you have to really pay attention to it. And there's a lot of great stuff. It's not flashy.
Right. It's a good point. It's like,
but I think the detail on it is amazing.
Yes.
So I'm going to give it a 50.
I will agree with you on that. I will also give it a 50.
50. Yeah, I'll give it a 50. Terrier doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. Norwich Terriers seem like bigger than like a regular terrier.
They're thick.
They're like stocky.
Looks like a hedgehog or big gigantic hedgehog to me.
Yeah, right.
When they kept holding it up. Yeah.
All right. Fashion so bad, it's good.
I mean, yeah.
Everything Sherri-Ann wears.
Yes. I mean, what she was wearing at the cocktail party with like the pearls wrapping around her breasts and then a tiara.
Oh, the matching, the dogs had matching tiaras. How about that like fur head muff thing she had with two dangling?
Yes.
Yes.
Fur balls. She also had like fur coming out of her purse when she went and bought that popcorn.
John, please.
She had fur on her shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The very first time we see John Michael Higgins, he has a puka shell choker on.
Yeah.
Okay. Every single piece of jewelry that man wore
exactly
was great. Amazing. Oh God. How about the little red sweater that she's, by the way, knitting on in the van on the way. I don't know if you saw the knitting needles on the dashboard, but then it's got that red sweater with
A good eye.
With a W on it.
Oh, she always clocks a knitting needle.
Yeah, that's right.
So what do you want to give this for?
A lot. I would say 78.
Yeah, I was going to say 75. So 78. That's good.
78.
Lydia. I was going to say 73.
Ooh. And are you going to say 73?
And I will say 73.
I'll say 75. Giving an average of 75.33. All right. The time has come. The thing you texted your daughter. It is time for you to add a category that we use to judge how gay Best in Show is and every other movie when your category gets added to the wheel and possibly promoted to canon or bonus at a future date.
So this is the only thing that I could think of. It has to have something to do with animals. And that's, and this, I don't know if you can use this word necessarily because we'll know what it means, but anthropomorphism, which is assigning human characteristics to animals or inanimate objects.
Yeah, so we could try to maybe not use that word.
Anthropomorphism. Yeah.
Why would we not want to use that word?
Yeah, what's wrong with that word?
It can be an educational experience.
Thank you, a teachable moment.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, fine. Do whatever you want.
And so, I do think there is something gay about that because, like, you know, we love to treat. We have a category.
Snaggle tooth. Right.
We have a category that's dogs as accessories, but this is almost the opposite of that. Dogs is like, you know, I'm a dog mom, that kind of thing.
Exactly. I mean, this
like, does an animal have a character arc
in the movie?
Well, I mean, this isn't like
no, but
Benji, but
does Benji have an arc? What is Benji's arc? He learns, oh, not to be hunted.
Beatrice is missing. Is
Beatrice
that
might have be the one animal that has the character arc because she's traumatized. Or
but there's also Winky. We have a hint of Winky's real point of view during the when they take a photo.
Oh, yeah, he's like
free, and he's kind of like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, after the chance, after he wins, and it's like,
yeah. Yeah, he's like, these people are unusual. I like anthropomorphism. I think that's good. Too. So, what would you give Best in Show for anthropomorphism?
Oh, I would. I mean, I've got to give it 100 because it's the category we chose, right? I mean, there's tons of it.
Sure.
I mean, there's a hound that can do mental telepathy, right? And say yeah. Macadamia nut.
And then all the busy bee of it all.
Oh, yeah.
True. It's like he's not responding to the toy. He's not responding to the toy.
Right.
Yeah, and you're
like Michael McKean being like, I'm going to sing your favorite yeah. dirge.
Exactly.
So 100.
Yeah. I mean, all the characters in this movie do that to their dogs. I don't think the movie does it to the dogs in a way, you were saying, like a Benji or something like that. So I'll go 84.
84.
That's what I was saying. Maybe not use that word, but frame it of not just anthropomorphism, or maybe like-
It's fine, Olivia.
Like, do the characters like put, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, if it's like a talking dogs literally like a child's movie, that could be a broad category. It's not a small category, it's broad.
Thank
right?
you. It's an umbrella.
Definitely. Exactly. It can it could be inanimate objects too for a future movie.
There you go.
I was thinking forward thinking here.
Go we appreciate on. That.
Oh, I thought you had something else. Yeah, I was like
well, I haven't heard any, so hit me with it.
I'm going to give it an 85, giving an average of 89.67. Very good. All right. Okay. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories we rate from 0 to 10, and they're just bonus. So if it gets a 0, it's not bad. It's not going to affect the score negatively. These are all just extra bonus points that it'll get.
All right. So the first category, what would you guys give Best in Show in musical potential? Could you see a Best in Show musical?
So much.
I think so. Almost the lack of plot helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that, like, this great intro song where you get introduced to all the different characters.
Bulge could have his own song.
Or, you know what, with all their
I'm popping up.
There could be a song with the husband who's almost dead.
But he doesn't
At least we have soup. But
that could be
like
the tragic. Yeah, that could be the tragic.
That's a
like
sad
what
song.
We or it's like, what do we have in common is a whole song.
Yeah, fun.
And nice we can have song. The recurring song throughout the show could be something that all of Cookie's lovers sing.
Exactly. They all
there
sing.
You go.
Oh,
now
sweet mystery of life, as it were.
A cookie's cookie reprise.
Yep, exactly.
Several.
Everyone gets a bite.
Yep.
What are those musicals called where there's no plot and like here someone comes out, sings this song, then they leave? Like a review?
It's like a review. Yeah.
With the UE.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what do you guys want to give this for musical potential?
0 to 10.
7. Oh, 10.
Oh. You want to give it 10?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with 10. I was going to say 9, but I'll go with 10.
Fair enough. We'll give it 10.
Well, I think it's got a lot of great characters. I think one of the things that is tough, would be tough about making this musical is all the dogs. Not that there haven't been musicals with dogs like Annie, I know. But I think it's tough to have that many dogs in a stage show. But you could do a movie musical.
They could all be like the cow in
Gypsy? Into the Woods?
Into the Woods.
Or yeah. Sandy, the dog.
Or do it like with puppets. Who cares?
Oh my gosh, puppets.
You think people are going to like storm
see best
out
in
of like,
show
these
for
aren't
puppets.
Real dolls.
You want to go to see a with for puppets?
No, I need a good version. I need a good quality.
They could have like the leashes on, like have like the leashes be like wired and it they're not be it'd be like
oh so the audience's imagination like, are the dogs
exactly
where it's are the dogs
it's like a mirror being held up to us the audience. I'll give it a 5.
I mean, if you've never seen a dog on Broadway, you seen Civil War? Woof. What did you give it, John?
A 5.
I'll give it an 8. Sure, why not? Giving it a why hasn't there been a dog show musical? Seems like a natural fit. Giving it a 7.67. All right, next category. Queer menace. Are there any queer menaces? Why they, well, I would say the butcher probably feels that there are.
I don't think that's a theme of the movie.
No, but there is a queer menace moment. I'm not saying it's 10, but it does happen.
What, like a 1 here? What do you think, Olivia?
Yeah.
1.
Whatever.
That's Olivia's favorite word, everyone.
And she's starting to check out.
Hey, that was a joke when I was like 7.
And still, it's your
and it still works. Commit to the bit.
That word now. So whatever.
A 1, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to go 0 because I don't think there's any sense of like the queers are coming in to ruin this dog show.
Did you see the butcher shop scene? They're harassing this butcher.
I did see that scene. I'm going to stick with 0.
Wow.
Got but your remember, blinders on. Yeah, that scene is in his spank bank. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Olivia, for outing me.
Thank you. I'll give it a 3. Giving an average of 1.33, which is 1% lower than Waiting for Guffman. All right. Next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, oh, Parker Posey got actual braces.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a pretty big swing.
I think just Jane Lynch and Jennifer Coolidge just, you know, like again, like having never seen them before and have them come out with these performances.
And Catherine so O'Hara's leg limp.
That is a big swing.
Or, well, like Fred Willard. I mean, I feel like everybody in the show is a character actor. I mean, like, because there isn't a lead, right? It's like
an actress.
True, true. This is specifically actresses, though.
Oh, actress. Oh,
yes.
That's discriminating.
It is.
Or are we elevating?
It's appreciating our female.
Yeah.
Men, just a spotlight.
Men are doing fine.
Okay.
They have spank bank deposit. The male gaze. We give 1, 2 categories to women. There's a problem.
You need to calm down with things like this.
She is, you can't see it, but Andrea is throwing things around her room. She just smashed her precious moment.
It's like I'm tearing the room up. I'm looking for Busy Bee. I'm so pissed.
Where's that Busy Bee? So what would you guys give this for character actress takes a big swing?
On a 1 to 10, how about an 8?
Sure.
An 8.
I'll go 4.
You want me to be like, fine.
Okay. Well, no, I want you to have it. No, I want you to correct me, Olivia. I'm
sure I agree.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for lifting me up.
Josh Groban.
Did you raise me up?
Oh, excuse me. You knew exactly what I meant.
Yes, because you made me learn that song to sing it at your show.
And everybody loved it. What are you complaining about?
I'm not complaining.
John, what are you giving it for character actors? Speaking of big swings.
I'll give it a 4.
A 4? You gave Waiting for Guffman a 10.
Yeah. Whoa.
Bias. Oh, it's theater. Excuse me. I'm going to give it a 9. I mean, you got braces to be. That is commitment. Giving it an average of 7, which is 1.67 percentage points lower than Waiting for Guffman.
Fuck.
Maybe you'll make up some points here, though. Witches. How witchy is Best in Show?
Not witchy, actually.
Not very. I mean, Meg has kind of she's a nightmare. Is Cookie a sort of sexual witch? Seducing men? A succubus?
She is a succubus.
But she's not draining the life from people. If anything, she's giving them life. Okay. Your mother's here, Olivia.
I think I know what you were about to say.
What was she going to say?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Witches is low. This one's like 1 or 0.
Only because they roasted a goat in the hotel.
That's true. But it was a band.
Yeah.
All right, 1.
A 1.
I'm going to have to go 0, unfortunately.
0. Even I have to go 0. And I love giving.
You love to give witch points.
Yep. All right. Next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Is it just Jane Lynch? I think it might be.
It is just Jane Lynch. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
John Michael Higgins is gay? We already talked about that.
That was my reaction 45 minutes ago, Olivia.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. So does that
mean he's very good?
Yeah. 2. I mean, there are 9 main characters and 1 of the 9. So that's a 1 point something. We'll round it up.
Well, I think if you think of it this way, because there's 4 gay characters and one of the 4 is played by a gay person.
So
rather than the 9.
Okay. So 2.5.
2.5.
I'll go 3 just because Jane Lynch is like Jane Lynch.
Yeah.
Wow. Compelling argument.
Thank you.
I'm also going to give it a 2.5. I like that math. Giving it a 2.67, tying it with the apple. All right. Next category. This is right up your alley. Themes of mothers. I mean, there's breeding.
The one thing was that when Jennifer Coolidge and Jane Lynch first kiss on the camera and the two gay guys go, oh, Rhapsody has 2 mommies.
That's true. And Jane Lynch mentions her mother's suicide.
That's true.
That's still
big theme.
I mean, it's like a generic theme throughout the whole thing that they're treating their animals as their children. And so every woman in this is a mommy to their dog, but that's more nonspecific.
Right.
I don't know. What, like a 4?
Sure.
A 4.
I'm not opposed.
I'll give it a 1.
A 1. Yeah, I got to give it a 1 as well. Give it an average of 2. Percent. All right, next category. Pearl clutching. Were there moments where people clutch their, well, I would say the butcher, but John would disagree. He would call him a willing participant.
That's exactly what I would say. I think anytime, poor Eugene Levy, the whole time, every time some guy's like, Cookie Googleman, and then says some other thing, and he's sort of a little scandalized.
Yeah. I love it when he lost it, and he complimented the melons of the... And then she's like, oh, thank you. Oh, I don't know about this one. Olivia, you take the lead.
I don't know. Pearl clutching? Unless I'm clutching my pearls to laugh a big laugh.
Sure.
Uh-huh. It's
a big wahoo. My God, I can't believe they said that.
They went there.
Yeah.
They're going after dog shows. Is nothing sacred?
Yeah.
It's gotta be. Ed Begley Jr. was thinking the whole time he was checking in Stefan and
Scott.
Like, but not that he was showing it on his face, but.
Like a 3.
Okay.
A 3.
I'll go 1.
1. And I'm going to go 2. Give it an average of 2. All right. I think you're going to make up some points here. This is the last in the bonus category. Quips. How quippy is Destin
I'll give it
Cho.
A big fat 10.
Same. She's back. Yeah, even if the only quip was John Michael Higgins going, she looks like a cocktail waitress on an oil rig, I would give this a 10. So,
oh
yes,
my God, that was
going 10 on that one.
I love that one.
Everything Scott says essentially is a quip.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was thinking, I wrote down some things, and I think everything I wrote down was something that he said.
Even Gene gets to make a fun quip when he finally calls Scott Mary and everybody laughs.
Oh,
I think that's so funny.
Proud, Mary. Yeah. Or how about faster than a walnut would roll off a hen has roof?
There's also one in the backyard party where they say, I want to see where they make the light cream cheese. And everybody loves that one.
Yeah. Oh, that was so funny.
So. All right, guys, do you know what it means? I tried actually Googling this when he says, I feel like Alan Ladd at Easter Island.
I don't.
It means, it's got to mean something. Alan Ladd is a really short person. That's all I know. So there must be something about
Easter Island heads are really tall. So you just feel super short.
You're feeling tiny.
I don't know. Because they've got a bunch of statues or like.
Because it's a short person and the biggest heads.
Oh, I guess so. Maybe so. I did spend some time trying to
figure. I appreciate this research you do.
No.
John, what do you want to give it for quips? Did you say?
Oh, I said 10.
10. You gave Waiting for Guffman a 3. Wow.
Whoa.
Interesting that swing. I'm also going to give it a 10. Given an average of 10, which is the highest we've had in the last 9 movies. The next closest is Anti-Mame with an 8.93%. All right, now.
Quips.
Absolutely. Now we are into the iconic category.
So we're going back to scoring from 0 to 100. And these categories are sort of bigger, broader, more umbrella categories.
Oh, my God.
All right. First one. How would you rate Best in Show in homoeroticism?
We already talked about it. We don't have a lot for the spank bank. It's just like not that horny of a movie.
Mm-mm.
Scott's kind of horny for a lot of people.
I mean, yes, that character he is.
Yeah, but there's nothing like you get a sense of like eroticism with any of the characters. Although you could say that Jane Lynch and Jennifer Coolidge have that little kiss.
Absolutely, they have that huge kiss. But it's like one moment.
One moment, and it's kind of played more for shock.
Dynamite in the bedroom.
Likewise, I'm sure.
What do you say, Olivia? Like 15 to 20? Or is that too low?
Yeah, let's do 17.
Got it.
17.
I'll do 18.
18. I'm going to go 9. I don't think it's very homoerotic. Given a 14.67, which is 6 points higher than Waiting for Guffman, but 20 points lower than the Ten Commandments. All right. Next, over-the-top wardrobe.
Scott Donlan's wardrobe.
Yeah. That's constantly over the top. Uh-huh.
Jennifer Coolidge, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Cookie,
yeah.
I think even there's elements of over the top. She has her moments.
I would say, Mom, I like it 80.
Yeah. And I like, and I have to throw in too, because the dog wardrobe was pretty dang good.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you dress up your dogs?
Every once in a while, but not. It's like, okay, there's a 49ers game on, so Dad puts on the 49ers jersey on the dog.
Well, as long as it's for a good reason.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I guess.
Also, like, Scott is literally wearing a pirate shirt at one point.
Yeah. I love it when he's packing kimonos and he's like, you pack 6. And he goes, oh, God, that's right. Maybe I should pack one 8? More.
Yeah.
And shoes for 2 left feet?
Yes. There's that. There's Michael Hitchcock, who's worried about which turtleneck to wear. Yeah, the half tack, the mock turtleneck.
Don't you think that their looks are the least over? Like, those are like below the top. Like, it's literally J. Crew and L.L. Bean.
No, I agree, but just his like approach to it and how like it's so.
The thing is their characters think they're over the top.
This is true.
They think they're making a big statement. Yeah, he's like, it's going to be a sea of khaki down there.
Yeah.
But are they making a big statement? No.
No.
So what do you want to give this for over the top wardrobe?
Ooh, I think for Scott and the dogs, 75.
Didn't I already say 80?
You were frozen, Olivia.
Oh.
All right, 80, fine.
80.
I'll go 80 as well.
80. I was like, nobody's paying attention to me.
Oh, poor Olivia.
We can't see you.
She's used to being the cutest.
You can't see me.
We can see you. You just get frozen every now and then. Oh, trust me, we can hear you.
You can?
I'm gonna give it a 65 and over the top wardrobe. It is wild, but it's not like so crazy I'm like gagging. Give an average of 75. All right, last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Best in Show?
Well, you better pack your bags and say goodbye to your mom. It's very campy.
You're going to the woods this weekend. You're watching this movie.
I think it's very campy.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're having a lot of fun with it's not campy in the way that like it's so bad it's fun.
Yeah.
But they're looking for all the jokes, like you were saying, like the thing that's hanging from the rearview mirror, the thing that's on the wall, like they're looking for those fun extra things throughout.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Eugene Levy's his buck teeth, you know.
Yeah.
Grande Expressio's being sexy. I mean, they met over catalogs, LL Bean catalog. I mean, all these little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, dog telepathy and the fact that you're going to have this big party, it's like a bon voyage party to go to a dog show.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Tourism in Philly to go see where they make cream cheese. Confusing the Mayflower and the Nina, the Pinta and the Santa Maria. I mean, there's just like every time I turn around, there was like another little thing.
This is excellent scholarship, Andrea.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, how about the captain and the cookie? Like the,
beg for it.
Cassette. Yes.
That was on my list.
Or the American Bitch magazine. What was it?
Yes. American
the challenges American of American lesbians with their dogs or something. And then that calendar with the dogs. I don't know. There was, to me, there was so much.
So what do you say, Mom?
Oh, 95.
Oh my gosh, that's what I was going to say.
Well, you're so much alike.
Like sisters.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I loved on that dog calendar. They have all these iconic movies. And then the last one is McMillan and Wife.
McCabe and Mrs. Miller. It's McCabe and Mrs. Miller, right?
I thought it was McMillan and Wife.
Oh, you might be right. It probably is.
It's probably both.
Edit this out, John. Where I'm wrong.
I will give it a 90.
90. 1 point higher than Waiting for Guffman, and that's set in the world of theater, John. Are you losing your touch? People want to know.
Mark, do you have anything you want to share with us when it comes to camp?
Well,
I can't wait to hear your list.
Well, you've said half of them already, so I had to edit. Very good, Andrea, but I will quickly go through. I got a quick list. Basing your love on a mutual passion for super catalogs, custom vans and RVs, feeling emasculated by Larry Miller, a morning show host telling their co-host energy right before they're live, one of your credit cards being the good one, fondly remembering your time waitressing at the Mint Julep, checking to see if someone's wearing LL Bean, spending 6 months working with leather and red thread, calling your dog to say goodnight, Christy name dropping that she handles Rhapsody in White, opera glasses, this shot of Sherry Ann picking out on popcorn, and finally Scott and Stefan reading Christy Cummings to Filth. So I think it's pretty campy. I'll give it an 88, giving it an average of 91. Waiting for Guffman, 83.67. Finally, we are into the crown jewel.
So these categories, we don't rate them. We score them. It's either it gets them or it doesn't. So we all agree, yes or no.
First one, 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Best in Show have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
I would say yes.
I would say yes.
I think so, yeah. There's nothing weird about any of them being gay. None of them are sort of, they're as weird as everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I would say so too.
A rare quadrant agreement.
Yay.
Right. Yay.
Let's keep it going. This is the last one. Negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip. So it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
No, this is not the movie Boat Trip.
This is not.
No.
One second.
So that's it. We're all done. Now that we've been through all the categories, do you still confident you will be in the top 25 or that you will beat Waiting for Guffman?
I think we might. We're going to be really close to Waiting for Guffman. And I'm not sure. I say we're top 30.
Okay.
Top 30.
What do you think, Olivia?
See.
That's a right answer. All right. So out of a total possible
2,410.41 points. Best in Show has scored 1,654.08 points, giving it a percentage of 68.62, making it the 30th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Cruising, but gayer than Hackers. Wow. She nailed it.
That's about right.
So are we better than Waiting for Guffman?
Yes. Much gayer. Yes. Waiting for Guffman only has a 57.70. Well, this has a 68 point, yeah, almost 10, 11 points higher.
John, the debate is over. Dogs are gayer than theater.
Well, I guess the math doesn't lie.
There you go. Wow. Great work, everybody.
We did it. This was so much fun, you guys. Thanks so much for being here.
Mom, this is your first time guesting on a podcast.
I know. I'm so excited.
Oh, you did a great job.
And
you
crushed it. Loves this podcast.
I do.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
I do. I listened to it on my walk this morning.
Her walk with her dog.
With my dog.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's
Full
Ruby.
Circle moment.
Yeah.
Well, thank
nice
you.
Nice little bookend.
Is there anything you guys would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Well, of course, Rom-Coms with Mom.
Of course.
We recap a romantic comedy. Mark was a guest. We don't usually have a guest because guess what? I'm not at Sling. But it's been a goal of mine. So, John, expect an email.
I cannot wait.
Say like a threat.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just about to change my email. I'll let you know what the new one is.
I also make and sell pottery. You can find me at Osno Ceramics on Instagram, on Etsy, out on the town selling my wares.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
I requested a mug with a bigger finger hole. I don't know, what do you call that thing?
I know.
Handle?
Always want a bigger finger hole.
A finger hole?
Okay. Well, because Olivia doesn't, like, they work for her hands, but when I do it, I could barely like get a pinky through.
Your pinky mug?
Yeah.
All the rage.
So dainty.
I'm going to make you a big fat mug with a big fat handle.
That's what I want. That's all I want out of life.
Wow.
Andrea, anything you'd like to promote?
No.
Fair enough. All right. Thank you. You guys are great. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day.
The reason for the season. Thank you so much. And
we'll be right back. We're back.
Wow, fun inaugural Mother's Day.
That was really
episode.
Sweet, fun. Yeah, it was fun to
see
watch
their dynamic at play.
It is fun. You used to host a show called Those Magnificent Moms where you would have comedians come on with their mothers, and it was always really fun to watch that backstage, see all these comedians and their yes. moms, and sort of like protecting them, but you know, like they were performing, so you could tell the moms were all a little nervous because most of them aren't used to it, and so you had all these people you knew who were like taking care of their mom and also like introducing Absolutely. Them around and showing them off, and it was very sweet and fun.
And everyone always had, we were never about shaming moms or laughing never. At them.
Never. Celebration.
We were celebrating.
100%.
You can't make a mistake at that show.
No, you can't.
Even if you forget a line, nobody cares.
No one. That's not what anyone's
You're
there
out
for.
Out there.
Exactly.
But you would have extensive notes afterwards.
Well, you know, just tiny things, not for the moms so much, but for you.
Sure. And I appreciate them. Speaking sure, of notes for grow. Us.
That's right. So we are doing, coming up after our mom series, we're very excited. It's going to be our 100th episode.
Can you imagine?
And can you imagine? And to celebrate, we want one of you, our listeners, to be our guest.
An essay about the movie you would bring in and why you think it would do well. Like, we're looking, ideally, something at least crack top 10.
That would be
We've
wonderful.
We've already gotten some essays, some wonderful suggestions already.
Some great suggestions so far. We've got, of course, Wizard of Oz. We've got a Mamma Mia 2.
The Birdcage.
What else? Birds of Prey.
That's a fun one.
That's a good one. Batman in the movie, the original one.
Troops of Beverly Hills.
Troop Beverly Hills, not Troop of.
Troops of Beverly Hills. That's how I refer to it. The Snyder Cut.
Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff here.
So what do you think? Like, and I would think of it in terms of somebody asked, like, how should I go about this? Well, think of terms of like what the number ones are? Female Trouble. It has actual gay people that are horny.
Right.
It's sure. campy as hell. And it has a great look to everything. It has a really dynamic, great clothes, hair, production design.
Yep.
So anything that ticks those three boxes has a good shot, I would say.
Anything with a positive portrayal of homosexuality, you have a big juicy bonus at the end if you can get that one.
That helps.
Definitely helps.
So send us, where should they send these essays
they
to,
They should
John?
Email them to us at twooldqueens, that's T-W-O, oldqueens, at gmail.com. And make sure you do it before May 1st. That is the cutout. So you have a couple more days from when this episode comes out to get in your list. And we will
after that, they're going to the junk folder.
We're sending them to some other podcast that has nothing to do with us.
Yeah. You ready, Michael Barbaro?
Prepare to get something in your inbox. Yeah. Hey-o. So again, email us if you want to for the essay, for the 100th episode, email us an essay for a movie that you think would do well at twooldqueens, T-W-O, oldqueens at gmail.com. But you could also email us if there's something you like, questions, stuff we got wrong, suggestions, let us know, email us there. Or you can also rate and review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. It really helps people discover the podcast, helps the algorithm, however that works. And we really appreciate that. Nobody knows.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O, oldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Also, we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of great stuff you can buy for yourself and the ones you love, like your mother, maybe, for Mother's Day coming up.
Maybe she would love an Eat Shit Funny Girl t-shirt.
Oh, moms love Eat Shit Funny Girl t-shirts. And also, we have a Patreon. It's Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. If you want an extra episode of this every week, go over there and subscribe. And we have a lot of fun stuff that we're doing over there.
Yeah, so stick around next week. We have another movie curated by a mother. We're going to be discussing Eat, Pray, Love, which is
very exciting.
I've never seen it.
Myself, neither.
Well, I can't wait to go on this emotional, cathartic journey with you of discovering.
It's like the perfect time. Like the pandemic's ending, we're getting to go back into the world.
Finally, I can eat.
Eat and pray and love.
Yeah, but that's it for this time. Send us those essays and stay safe. Get a vaccination.
Always, please.
Wear a mask if you're indoors. It seems the research seems to be iffy now about outdoors, but still err on the side of caution.
Always better.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.